It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. It's a public conversation on a community approach to homicides. We've spoken so many times about young people, we rarely get a chance to talk to them about anything, much less about violence. But most of the people who are impacted by violence in Charlotte, particularly by homicide, are people who know each other and people who are under the age of 25. So we're going to talk to some people about violence and how it impacts their lives. This is Trinity Snowden. She is 15 years old, and she is at Turning Point Academy, one of Cedric Dean's mentees, and also with Beauty After the Bars. Sylvia Clark is 22 years old, studying criminal justice at CPCC. And she is with Greg Jackson's organization, Heal Charlotte. And Yassine Major is 18 years old. He graduated from Harding High School in June and plans to attend UNC Pembroke in the fall. He volunteers with Heal Charlotte. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate it. So I want to make the best use of our time, and I'm not sure who to ask this question of. How safe or unsafe do you feel on a regular basis in your neighborhood, in your lives? Trinity.
On a regular basis, I feel unsafe, especially when I be going to school, because I have to wake up earlier in the morning and watch my surroundings. I go out, I hear gunshots, I just stop and be like, I don't even live in a good neighborhood. So it feels like I can't even bring out my little siblings, take them to the park and enjoy themselves, because I just don't feel safe nowhere.
Yassine, Major, you're 18 years old, you're about to go to college. When's the last time you felt unsafe in your environment?
Actually, I still currently feel unsafe in certain circumstances. There's certain times when I walk outside and my anxiety happens to come up, because you're never prepared if you're going to live to see the next day or live to see the next hour. I feel more unsafe for my family members, too. One of my biggest fears is, you know, getting a phone call from somebody saying, oh, your brother's deceased, over nonsense. And I feel like it's an easy access to get into violence in, like, areas I live in.
Yeah. So. I'm not going to ask you the same question, Sylvia, because I see you nodding in agreement and recognition of what both Trinity and Yassine have said. But I do want to ask you about what you think the causes of this. And one of the causes that you have mentioned to our producers is that a lot of this is about respect. People just want respect. Is that the driving force behind many of these shootings? They feel disrespected?
Yes. Sometimes I go out and I see guys when they're in groups, and especially at the Charlotte Transit, it's more drama that goes on out there. And sometimes it leads to the neighborhoods, or guys get chased back to the neighborhoods. They bring more of the violence to where they live at than where they started. When it comes down to the respect level with them, all they want is respect. A lot of guys, when they bump into each other and somebody don't say excuse me too fast, the other person gets real mad, or they wants to take out a gun and shoot, because they feel like if they don't have respect for them, they won't have respect for any of the family members.
And you're making a point that Yassine told one of our producers about, and that is the need for education about conflict resolution.
Yep.
If you have a gun in your pocket, you're all too often ready to use it because over something that's just silly in some cases.
Character.
Yassine, why is that such a difficult concept for some people? Why do they have to be taught that?
The only thing that people know of is ending their lives or just shooting them in general or killing them. It's sad to say that not many people are educated to resolve conflicts, because there are other ways that you could resolve a conflict.
And Trinity, you think there's too much negative thinking which leads to violent crime. What do you mean by negative thinking?
At Turning Point, when I was there, it used to be too much negative. That's, to me, I'm going down the wrong path, as people say, but I can change that. I have my mentors that can help me change that. At the end of the day, we all have to stick together, even if we're in the bad or the wrong. We're family no matter what. That's what I always say.
I want to tell people I didn't know what Turning Point was. It's a school that you went to for a while.
Yes, an alternative school.
Okay, it's an alternative school for people who have gotten themselves in trouble in other schools. And I think a lot of our listeners don't know about Turning Point. Do you feel comfortable telling us why you ended up there?
I ended up there because I disrespected my teacher. I wanted to get my way, but now I learned that I always can't get my way. So I spent 90 days there. My mentor, Tawanda Brown, Beauty After Bars, helped me get through it. So now I'm finally out and going back to my home school this year.
Sylvia, Greg Jackson is your mentor. He's my personal hero because I've read a lot about Greg and we've talked before, and I just think what he does is amazing. You've gone on to study criminal justice at CPCC. You've had what many would consider to be a pretty damn tough life. You were homeless for a while, and you say you always try to stay level-headed in the face of all this adversity that you faced because you didn't want to fail. Where did that strength in you come from?
Well, when homelessness started for me, I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
So I was house to house. My mom wasn't, she had living situations, and my dad is a full-time truck driver. I was trying to find my way. Mentally, I didn't want to end up like a lot of people that I see out here on the street that has a sign up saying, I'm homeless, I need money. So I went to school. I dropped out to go to Job Corps. Dropped out of Job Corps, went back to school, graduated from school, 2016, high school. I left, went back to Job Corps, O'Connor left the Job Corps. I took up wildland firefighting and forestry. I am the first African-American female that has did forestry and wildland firefighting in any Job Corps.
Wow. I'm just curious, when you tell this story to your peers and to people younger than you, what impact does your success and the fact that you did this have on them?
I don't think it has much change on them.
What impact has your decision to go into criminal justice had on them?
They slide away from me. They look at me in awe and they slide away from me because they don't like cops.
You know, Chief Kerputney said when he was young, he didn't like cops either. Now he's the chief of police. What attracted you to that field?
I wanted to help people my age and younger mentally, and some people older than me, because I know people older than me, some of them, the majority, don't have the same mindset that some of us do have.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of act more childish than I do. I just want to really help people mentally before they step outside to even get to any kind of crime or committing a crime. I really want to step in when that's about to happen and isolate it.
You have seen, Yasin, you have said that you've seen kids give up on life from a lack of support, that when they do, we should not be surprised that they resort to bad behavior. What kind of support do you see lacking in the lives of a lot of these young people?
Most children or like people my age that go to this way, we lack of two parents. I myself live in a single parent house. So I feel like because not many children live in a house with two parents, mostly like their fathers, they don't have structural support. As far as like academics, not many children are academically supported.
By they teachers, by parents, by whom?
All of them. Like counselors, teachers. They don't talk with students about like college life and life after high school. They just talk about receiving a high school diploma and that's it.
Obviously, you're going to college. How did you, without the support you just said is lacking in some areas, how did you do it?
Well, throughout my life, I've experienced some stuff. I'm the oldest child. I have 5 brothers and 3 sisters. So because I'm the oldest, I want to show my siblings that you could do it. During my high school years, I've been homeless many times, and I felt very embarrassed and ashamed to tell people. In fact, this is the first time I public spoke about it. most people, they accept the fact that they're homeless. I just use my homeless as motivation for me for school and my future. So
I noticed, Trinity, when Sylvia was talking about her accomplishments, that you were really enthusiastic in your support of her success. I'm curious as to, you're the youngest person up here, you're 15. I'm curious as to what do you have goals for your life?
I do.
And what are they?
My goal is to be the first out of all my siblings to finish college and be a good person that I am.
You said, to be a good person that I am. You said it in the present tense. Did it take you a while to get there, or did you always feel that way about yourself?
It took me a while.
Why?
Because throughout my life, there's a lot of people that doubted me and told me I was never going to be nothing. But once I got to that certain step and I had some important people in my life, Charlene Henderson, Cedric Dean, and Tawanda Brown, they made me be the person that I am. So throughout my life, I'm never going to forget them.
Wow. You're studying law enforcement, Sylvia, and you want to be, I'm told, a crime investigator for the FBI.
Yes, sir.
What does it take to do that?
Well, a lot of people don't just get on with crime scene investigation in Charlotte. Me working my way up to it, I think that's the easiest point. I think it takes a lot to get there.
Yeah.
A lot of studying.
So when you do that, can you figure out a way to interface with people who came from or who come from backgrounds like yours? You're going to be this FBI person. Are you going to be able to go into the neighborhoods and deal with people who came from backgrounds like yourself and help them?
You know what? It's the way you talk to them. It's the respect that you give them. Behind everything that they think about, only thing that they want is somebody to come to them and talk to them genuinely. I think that's what they really need. They need a genuine person to talk to them genuinely.
And you're doing that. You're mentoring young people today, and you've said that a lot of them come from abused situations.
Yes.
And that you approach them with gentleness.
Yes. I have two nephews that I hang around all the time, and I ask questions to all the time. And my nieces and nephews are the only people other than other kids, and even my mentors, I really want them to learn from what I'm doing too.
And Yassine, you're going to UNC Pembroke in the fall. You'll be a freshman, and you want to major in the law eventually and become an attorney and work in family and immigration law and maybe run for Congress. When you run for Congress, what do you think you'll be focusing on?
Well, my goal is to focus on more of local laws and national laws because I feel like there are some laws that are implemented in this country that are not fair. And as a politician, my goal, I want to work with younger children because I want them to experience that politicians are not like a scary person, scary people. Basically, I want to give back to the community. I feel like the community done so much for me. I feel like I deserve to give them the same bit.
So let me bring it back to the reason we're here tonight, this community approach toward homicide prevention, and ask each of you, what do you think, what solutions or ideas do you have about how we can cut down on the number of homicides? I'll start with the youngest person, Trinity. Because you've got your stuff together, kid. You do. You told us that before we started that you have had a close friend who was killed, killed by a gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as you go through the community, as you live your life, what do you think is the glaring thing that we're missing, that if we just tackled that, we'd put a dent in this?
Like, she didn't even do nothing wrong. So it was like, that was just out the blue. And it just devastated me because it's like, if I was her age, that could have been me. Just like, why we just can't stop putting the guns down? I always thought about that. Like, I go to school and all people talk about is, oh, I want a gun. Oh, I have a gun. But you don't talk about your education. You don't know how much important it is into you and for your life. You need it throughout your life. Like, you do not need guns when you grow up, when you go to sleep, when you go out here and there. Like, we understand you're trying to protect yourself, but you do not need it to shoot people.
Sylvia.
I feel like we should be more involved in our community, more activities, more programs to keep more younger people my age, her age, keep doing something that's actually positive, give them something to think about or look forward to in the future. Because a lot of them don't have much to look forward to in the future, and a lot of them don't expect change.
Yasin, you get the last word.
I believe that not enough children or people are shown, they don't know what the world has to offer. And I feel like that not many children, they get enough support. I feel like because children, they're not trained on other ways or other conflicts, they're so quick to just shoot and shoot and shoot. And I feel like all we have to do is just educate them on other ways, resolve conflicts, offer like classes in different communities. I watched my mom get shot at over a car dispute. I feel like if you just talk to people about different ways that you could solve solutions, then maybe this wouldn't be as much as a problem.
Yasin Major is 18, Sylvia Clark, 22, both pursuing college educations and careers, and Trinity Snowden, who came to us at the very last minute, just before we started the show, who is 15 years old. Thank you for participating in this. Appreciate it very much.